This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, a good Wednesday morning to you. Thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call at Sports Map Radio. And I have proven this point once again. I've always told you that people get too riled up about the AP and the coaches' preseason polls. They get so dramatic when their team is undervalued and not respected. And I can't believe we're entering the season unranked or 12th when we should be in the top 10 or maybe 21st when we should be in the top 15. And I've always told you it's just a marketing tool. That's it. It'll all work itself out. Everybody slow down. But the traditions of college football are hard to break. So when you are talking to people who have been a fan of college football for a very, very long time, and that they know that the polls don't, you know, that mattered so much back in the old days, they can't break away from it. It's still a tradition. But my point has been proven. The Florida Gators are ranked 12th in the AP poll. Now, what did they do over the weekend? Well, they knocked off a number 7 team, right? Which is a good accomplishment. They did it at home. They did it in the first game under a new head coach. They did it in dramatic fashion, scoring a touchdown and then getting an end zone interception that sealed the win. But the Gators were unranked at the start of the season, unranked. And Utah was ranked in the top 10. And here we sit after one game, one home game, on a hot, sticky night in Gainesville, and Utah plummets 6 spots to number 13, and Florida, unranked, goes to 12. They go ahead of Michigan State that won their opener. Arkansas, that was ranked in the top 25 and beat a top 25 team as well. Ahead of Pittsburgh, that was ranked in the top 25 and won a hard-fought game against West Virginia. Kentucky, who won as well. One game against a team the consensus was a top 10 team. And they are in the 12. I keep telling you, I'll keep telling everybody, slow down, it all works itself out. The discrepancy between the writers in the Associated Press poll and the coaches poll is pretty deep. The AP poll has Florida 12. The coaches SID poll has them 19. All right, we're going to get to the NFL because it starts tomorrow night. The Buffalo Bills playing the LA Rams. Is there another team in the league under more pressure than Buffalo? We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good Wednesday to you. Thanks for joining us. And by the way, we are one day away from the start of the NFL season. All right, so the Buffalo Bills will be taking on the LA Rams Thursday night at SoFi Stadium. That is a great kickoff game. A lot of these games that they have in the NFL to start the season are good. They're just the preseason sort of thought process of like, which is the best game we could possibly put together? And they're usually really good. This one's fantastic. It could have been a Super Bowl preview. It could have been a Super Bowl matchup because the Buffalo Bills were that good last season. But going into this year, every time we get into the NFL season, every preseason talk, breakdown of teams, we talk about who's under the most pressure and which team needs to win and how our roster is set up. And, you know, teams, like we talk about general managers a lot and how they have to project their team down the road. And some general managers are kind of all in now and then they'll have to figure it out later. And some are making moves to give them an opportunity to be good for years and years to come. When we had Alex Gold on for our conversation about the Kansas City Chiefs, it was, you know, the Chiefs made some decisions. They traded Tyreek Hill. They picked up draft picks. They've saved some money. They're moving money around. They want to make sure that this large time that they think Patrick Mahomes will be their starting quarterback, barring any catastrophic injury, that they're going to put them in a position to win, that there'll be tools to fill the rosters with the kind of players that they're going to need every single year. The Buffalo Bills are a little different. They're really all in on the players and the contracts that they have right now. And so this window for Buffalo, again, they got a young quarterback, and it might take a little bit of adjustments and movement of money down the road, but right now they don't have this sort of long window of time to get this victory. Everybody's under big contracts, and that money is going to hurt them down the road. The AFC, as we've said many, many times, is completely loaded. So is it fair to put the pressure on Buffalo, who are the preseason favorites to win the Super Bowl, to give them that kind of pressure going into this season? Now, as you all know, about the city just adores this football team, right? I mean, they're one of the best fan bases in the league. They have endured four trips to the Super Bowl and four straight losses. They had to endure a period of time where America, the rest of America, was sick of them in the 90s. Remember, we all give, oh, here we go again with this. Buffalo, back in the Super Bowl. But the reality is that when you're a fan, you know, you're rooting for a team, and you want that one or maybe two Super Bowls that we pretty much want to get in our lifetime, the Bills had four shots against three different teams. And they lost those Super Bowls in the 90s in some dramatic ways, turning the ball over nine times against Dallas, losing to the Cowboys again, losing to the Giants on a missed field goal, losing to the Redskins when they were favored, you know, things like little things like that. Well, they were one of the favorites, or we should say one of the Super Bowls that were favored. There's a lot of different ways that a fan base has to endure. And Buffalo has endured a lot. They basically disappeared for a long period of time, and they were lost in that sort of Patriot dynasty that was running for 20 years. And they weren't a team that found a way during that time to build up something that could make a challenge to New England. You know, the Dolphins had won the division once, and the Jets gave them heck, but the Bills were always a team that couldn't really find their way. And now they have their way. And they have their coach in Sean McDermott. And the Bills over the last couple of years have been fantastic. But they haven't crossed over yet and gone to the Super Bowl. So this season, because of the final 13 seconds of a game in which they blow it against Kansas City, in Kansas City, oh, you can make the argument, oh, they should have got the, you know, they should have got the ball in overtime. But the rules weren't in place then. You gave up the touchdown that tied the game. You didn't make the stop in overtime. That's on you. But going into this season, now people are wanting to point to them and saying, well, all right, now it's your turn. Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, they kind of carried it a little bit. Now it's yours. But look again how loaded this AFC is. Is it fair to say it's Super Bowl or bust for the Buffalo Bills? Well, it might be. Now, there are times where teams can play to a certain level with a certain coach, but they can't quite cross over. And they need that one coach and that one sort of breath of fresh air to get over the hump. We've seen it a couple of times in this league already. Tony Dungy did a remarkable job building the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was John Gruden that took him over the finish line. Now, I'm not saying John Gruden's a better coach than Tony Dungy. Dungy certainly got his Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. But John Gruden was at the helm of the team that did finish the job. Remember the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning in 2013. Their head coach was John Fox. It was Gary Kubiak that had to come in and take over the Broncos to lead them to a Super Bowl. Again, it's not a statement on who's better. It's just the reality that sometimes another voice or another angle, just one more twist, is what you may need. And I'm really worried about Sean McDermott because of that. It's a copycat league. And so we just saw this two times. Will we see it again? If Buffalo fails once more in the postseason anywhere, losing at home to a good Raiders team or a good Chargers team or whoever, or getting to the AFC Championship game and maybe losing to Kansas City or Tennessee, will Buffalo look at their opportunity and ask the question, do we have the right guy running the team? Do we have, is Sean McDermott the guy that gets us right to the end? Or is he a coach that gets us as close as possible to the end, but just can't quite get there? You learn a lot about your team in a variety of different ways. Buffalo learns a bit about their team losing to Kansas City. That was a failure on defense. You can say all you want about how good Kansas City is, but you have to protect that lead. And they couldn't protect that lead. So, again, how tough it is in the AFC this year. It is, I mean, I'm serious. The Buffalo, Kansas City, Cincinnati, there are teams, you know, at the top, but the bottom part of that is loaded with teams that can bite you. And remember, the Cincinnati Bengals essentially came out of nowhere. The Cincinnati Bengals last year, second year, Joe Burrow, great story, got him to the playoffs. But to carry that all the way to the Super Bowl in three playoff wins, two of them on the road, two of them against very good football teams. So you don't even know if the team that's going to go represent the conference is on top of the board yet. We might have all four teams in the AFC West in the playoffs. We may only have two. We may have one. We have no idea where the bottom part of that conference could be. We don't know how injuries will affect the season. We don't know what is going to be in play. And yet, the Bills, there's almost no excuse. They have the quarterback. They have the receivers. They have the running game. They have Von Miller. They have a coach. And they did the one thing, which I thought was really smart this offseason. When Brian Daboll left, they just promoted Ken Dorsey. They didn't go get another offensive coordinator. They didn't try to pluck another one somewhere else. They kept it within the system, within the family, and they promoted Ken Dorsey. So Josh Allen is going to hear and talk to a familiar voice all season long as that offense and that system continues through 17 games. We talk about pressure with all sorts of teams. Dallas every single year because Jerry Jones runs his mouth. Right? Jerry Jones does it publicly. There are teams like the Rams that went so all in last year that you said, well, what's the end result here? Well, they got to win a Super Bowl. Oh, all right. And they had, and they did. There are other teams where you know it's going to blow up. Right? You know that contracts are coming to an end. They're in salary cap hell. Right? You know changes are going to have to come, and this may be their final grasp. But the Buffalo Bills are under pressure for a number of different reasons. They're extremely talented, they've come close, and their fan base is dying for a Super Bowl that they felt should have gotten at least one in the four Super Bowl losses in the 90s. And imagine going to four Super Bowls and then virtually disappearing and not having a winning record for a long time. And not making the playoffs for a long time. And yet you still go. You still go when it's snowy, cold, wet, because that's Buffalo weather. So again, pressure comes in all different ways. The Buffalo Bills are really feeling it. Tomorrow night begins that journey. And they'll be stumbling blocks along the way because most teams get, you know, it's 17 games now. You're bound to find one or two that are just absolute duds. But I am curious to see how they handle all of these expectations. Because, you know, when Kansas City and Tennessee were still kind of ruling it, Buffalo was climbing up. But now it feels like going into this season, they are the top dog. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. More from the NFL. We've got a lot to dissect in week one. Somebody's already on the road for a very good reason. We'll talk about that coming up as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network, Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, good morning. Glad you could be with us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. So yesterday, Ron, I went to the doctor's. I got to get a physical.
And, lovely.
I know. It's awful. Nevertheless, I had blood work done. And why do I squirm when I get blood work done? Whether I give blood or have blood work done, I squirm. And it's not even bad. And yet I don't like it. I don't know. It's not that I'm afraid of it. It's just I'm not comfortable when they put that band around you looking for a vein. I hate it. But, I do it anyway. I got blood work done. But they went to clean out some blockage in my ears, and now one of my ears is like ringing, and I can't hear out of it. So I'm hoping that it gets better. I'm like, no, I did not go to a rock concert. I was like telling my wife last night, I go, I can't. They put
kind of
so
feel
much
like
pressure.
You did though, right?
I did, yeah. I put so much pressure. They just push. They put that water in there to sort of break up the stuff, and then they kind of flushes out. But it just is like penetrating. And then I thought, all right, maybe one day it'll be better. And here I am this morning. I can barely hear out of it. So I hope it goes away eventually. But nevertheless,
it will. So or you talk, just get used to it.
If I talk a little louder than I'm normally doing, yeah. I know. I hope it's not one of those things you just live with, right? Like, oh, well, you know. Yeah.
What are you going to do?
That's never going to quite heal up. That's just something you'll just eventually, you'll live with.
Then you just start screaming loud noises.
Gee, my knee hurts. What? Nah, this is just one of those things. Oh, really? Yeah, I know. That's me now. So if I ask, why is it that when you, like, I have done this thing where I've asked people, so my wife does this a lot too, where I will say, she'll say something and I'm saying, I can't hear you. And then she'll say it a little louder. But then when I go, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. She gets rude. Like she'll say it loudly, but ruder. And I find that people do that. Is it that frustrating to repeat something? Is it like that annoying? When somebody goes, I can't hear you.
How many times are you asking people to repeat it though?
Okay, that's like maybe twice.
Yeah,
like the first time is fine. So if I say to my wife, for example, "Are you working in Columbia tomorrow?" and she says "No," and I go, "I'm sorry, I didn't hear you," and she goes "No," and I go, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that again. No, I'm worried. She goes like, you know what I mean? It's just like that third time she gets like, now I'm angry. You know, that kind of thing.
Kind of
like,
reminds me of, remember Austin Powers, Will Ferrell's character?
Yeah,
he's
right.
He's like, he hated being asked the same question three times.
Right. Yeah.
But they had to keep going through the motion to get the answers.
Oh, God. So
no, I do the same thing. So there are times where especially my middle son, Kai, he'll sometimes mumble, and I'm sitting there right in front. I'm like, what did you say? What did you say? And, I was like, I feel so horrible. Is it me? Is it you? I'm trying to figure this out.
No.
But I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. There are people who, maybe it's their thinking you have selective hearing.
Maybe it is. Maybe that's it. So nevertheless. So if I speak a little louder today, that the part of my hearing that can't quite hear me, I just feel like I need to speak up. So we'll see how that goes today. So anyway, I was talking earlier about pressure. Listen, it's a storyline that we all use every single season, right? We always talk about pressure. We say, look, this team's under this much pressure and this team's under this much pressure. When in reality, we all know it's very hard to win a Super Bowl. And Super Bowl champions come in all different ways. The Rams won the Super Bowl, and we kind of talked about them being all in, getting Matt Stafford and all of that and building that roster up. But if the Rams had not won the Super Bowl, would we have gone, are you kidding me? They had to go on the road and play Tampa Bay. And even though they had that lead in the game, Tampa Bay came back in that. And if it wasn't for one nice throw to Cooper Kupp, maybe Tom Brady and the Buccaneers win that game. They had to hold off the 49ers in the NFC title game, right? So you don't know where your Super Bowl champions are coming from. And they played, by the way, kind of an unlikely team in the field. Like if you looked at the roster of the AFC of what teams were in the playoffs last year, right? How many people would have picked Cincinnati out of that list to go to the Super Bowl?
right? When you had Buffalo, when you had Kansas City, when you had even New England, but you had since you had the Bengals, you had the Raiders, you had Tennessee, right? You had all. You could go or look at that and go Steelers. They didn't really count, but you wouldn't have picked Cincinnati. We know this league can churn out some surprises, but I feel like this year. This isn't, it's not an all or nothing year. I don't want to get that dramatic. I mean, it's not like Josh Allen's retiring, but they're not exactly in good cap space in the years to come. You never know how that affects other departments. And like I said earlier, is Sean McDermott the right guy to cross over and win a Super Bowl? We'll see. I would hate for him, to be honest with you. I would hate for Sean McDermott to be replaced because he gets the team to the playoffs, but he can't win, can't get him to the Super Bowl. I think the teams that have done it have had other reasons to do it, but I think in Buffalo's case, he's been the main architect of putting this thing together.
And I think
the level of consistency in the coaching has gone a long way with this team.
I have never understood if your coach is getting the job done, having positive seasons, making it to the playoffs, you know, yeah, you can't. You have that issue just getting over that hurdle. Why are you getting rid of him?
Yeah,
you know, I have a personal feeling with this one.
Of course,
14-2.
I didn't even mention him. Right? Yeah. I mean, like
Hall of Fame coach. I still to this day. I mean, I know the reasonings why, because there was an internal struggle between the owners and Marty Schottenheimer. But the football side of me or the football knowledge or the football thinking, I don't understand how you get rid of a coach that is, you know, taking you to the playoffs every single year. Yeah, you know, you run into a team that you have trouble with, but, you know, each year you're going to keep getting better and better.
It is, and that's, so again, because it's a copycat lead, that's what I worry about for him. And again, if Buffalo doesn't go to the Super Bowl, I'm not going to be blown away, surprised by that. That there's just too many good teams in the AFC to think that one is far and away greater than anybody else, right? But the reality of it is that that's the task he has. That's the problem he has. He has to navigate a season of a lot of landmines, and then he's got to navigate a playoff where every team he's going to go up against could beat him and beat him easily. There's going to be some really equals footing teams that he's going to play this year. Now, again, I say that today. I don't know what it's going to look like come January. Things could be different. Teams that we think are going to be good may not be as good as we think. All sorts of things. We get it. But right now, today, that's sort of the obstacle that he has. Navigate a season as one of the top teams in the NFL. Navigate the playoffs as one of the top teams in the AFC to get to the Super Bowl. And oh, by the way, have a fan base that's been dying to see a payday for what we've been creating all of these years. Right? That's the other issue. And this goes to every sport. When you know you have an outstanding team, when you know you have a great pitching staff in baseball, or you've put together a super team in the NBA, or whatever it may be, and the Bills have done that, they have surrounded Josh Allen with great weapons. They have got a defense now, added Von Miller, even though it's a little bit older. Von Miller still should be an impactful player for that defense. A lot of these things, you are, as a fan, you know, we have put this together the right way. You want to cash in on that. Sometimes cashing in only once isn't good enough. It's like we had a window of time and we only won once. Sometimes it is good enough. I don't think people in Denver, for example, thought the Manning years were all a waste because they only won one Super Bowl and lost another. I think you go, yeah, we got something out of that deal. We got a guy in the second act of his career. He gave us a title. When you know Super Bowls are hard to come by. All right, we'll talk a little bit more about college football. The rankings are out, and we'll talk about that also. I do have a question about one particular athlete that said goodbye last night. We'll talk about that as well as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
By the way, it's Lions Day today. If you've been following the show and following our summer previews, we couldn't get the Lions on at the time we had them scheduled because it was day one of training camp, and you know they all had something to do. But nevertheless, Jennifer Hammond is going to join us, WJBK, in hour three this morning to talk about the Lions because we're going to be doing a makeup preview.
I was going through old messages.
Right.
You know, I remember with one guy I was trying to figure out a time. So we got a, you know, we got a good chunk of time during the morning. So I was like, oh, we got plenty of times to choose from.
Sure.
I'm like, what about this time? That's during practice. What about this time? That's during practice. Well, how about this? Well, that's when the coach speaks before practice. I was like, I give up.
Yeah, give up. Hard
day. At that point, yeah, I get it. It's the first time you're all getting to see him.
All right, so the AP Top 25 came out on Tuesday. Alabama won. Georgia moved up to 2. Ohio State, Michigan, and Clemson. Okay. But Florida went from 0 to 12th. Unranked to 12th.
Nice.
What a jump. Egads. What a... They're acting like Utah was Alabama or something, right? I mean, come on.
I mean, Utah, don't get me wrong. 12 team.
Seventh ranked in the country in the preseason poll, had a good Rose Bowl, won the conference last year. I get it. But my God, they beat them on a, I can't stress this enough. If you've never been to Gainesville, Florida in early September, late August, it's a sauna. A steam bath. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it.
And Utah's
one of the hottest
in the mountains.
Places in the country. Utah plays, you know, practices and plays at altitude and a little bit more tepid climate. Florida is a steam, just a steam engine. I mean, it's just unbelievably hot. So that's not to say that, you know, hey, look, that game was close. It could have gone either way. But Florida jumping from unranked to 12th. Like if you had told me, hey, Florida won and they beat Utah, where do you think they'll be ranked? Oh, I would have said 20th, 21st. I would have said, you know, start small, right? Like just put them in the, like start small. Like put them in, like you had them unranked for a reason. You liked what you saw. It's a tight, close game. Anthony Richardson looked amazing. All right, put them like behind Kentucky, right? Like you're like maybe 21st. Head of BYU, behind Kentucky, maybe a little ahead of Ole Miss. I don't know. 12th? I mean, they're just a chip away from a top 10 team in the nation? But that goes to my overall point. Again, I can say this until I'm blue in the face, but I know traditionalists will never get over their team getting disrespected, right? The one thing that if I could magically pull one emotion out of every fan in the country, it's, I don't mind when you get overly emotional about sports. It's what we love about sports. It's this irrationality that comes with it, right? This life or death feeling that doesn't carry life or death consequences, right? My world is shattered. I mean, I said this, I've never gotten violent over a loss. I've never smashed things, but I've taken walks. I'll give you a perfect example. I remember leaving my apartment when Dennis Gibson knocked down that pass at the goal line to put the Chargers in the Super Bowl over the Steelers. I celebrated the Steelers going to the Super Bowl all day. They were going to beat the San Diego team. No chance the Chargers have. Stan Humphries, who's he? Right? The Steelers were the number one team in the AFC. Home. They were going to the Super Bowl. Dennis Gibson bats down a pass on fourth down. That's it. Chargers are going to Super Bowl 29. I had to leave the apartment. I had to go for a walk. I walk around. I had to clear my head. That's sort of what sports is all about. That's what makes sports fun. These emotions and passions that we all carry. But if there was one emotion that I could pull out, is the emotion of everybody thinking everybody hates them, right? They don't like us. They never liked us, right? Why are we ranked 8th instead of 5th? Because they don't like us. It's not true. It's not true. I've been all over the country. I can tell you right now, people, when I lived in Las Vegas, nobody in Las Vegas or Denver was like, you know who I hate? Ole Miss. I'm going to do whatever I can to hurt Ole Miss. Nobody does that. But everybody thinks that. And that's one emotion I wish I could pull out of everybody. But this, I mean, again, I said this at the top of the hour. This is a perfect example why this is all a joke. This is all marketing. It is only to sell you football games on Saturday. That's all this is. It carries no weight in determining who goes to the playoffs because the committee isn't even supposed to use this as a template. The committee is supposed to be watching all these games with a neutral eye, and then when they all get together, go, what have you learned this season? And then they all start putting it together when they all get together in, what, late October, before they start putting this thing to bed? But the reality of it is, there's no team, I don't care how good you look, no team should go from unranked to 12th in the country. If you are unranked and you win one game at home, I don't care who it's against, but you win one game at home, well, unless it's Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State, but you win one game at home, even if that opponent is ranked, and you go from unranked to 12th, it means they misread you by 100 miles. Like, Tennessee's a perfect example of what should happen. Tennessee was unranked. But of the others receiving votes, Tennessee got the most others receiving votes. So technically they were ranked 26th, if there was such a thing. And so they were in the top, they were outside the top 25, but barely. They win their first game. They beat Ball State. Not only did they beat Ball State, Hendon Hooker had four touchdowns. They win like 59-10. They just rolled. It was just one of those exhibition games. But they looked good doing it. It's like what Patrick Stevens said yesterday. Yes, Michigan, for example, should roll over Colorado State. But how they rolled over Colorado State was impressive. Tennessee was the same way. How they beat Ball State was impressive. You know where they were ranked by the AP? 24th. Now, again, Ball State's not a ranked team, so it's not exactly apples to apples. Florida played the number 7 team in the country. So to me, and this is where I'm getting at, to me, Florida being ranked 12th is more indicative of the AP writers protecting their original rankings. They don't want to say, hey, Utah actually looked crappy. No, Utah didn't look crappy. Actually, Utah played a good game. For being in the swamp in front of 90,000 people on the road in a completely and utterly different climate than any place they'll play in the Pac-12. I mean, late summer in Gainesville, Florida? I mean, I know there's a heat wave in Southern California, but have you ever been in a heat wave in Florida? I mean, good Lord. Right? And it makes the AP writers go, well, we're not going to say that beating Utah is not going to be rewarded. After all, we had them 7th. Are they the 7th best team? We don't know. So you take a team like Florida and you go 12th. Why? Because it gives validity to your preseason rankings.
Not only that, but I mean, it's almost like a precursor of what's to come.
Yeah.
So you can have a 12th ranked Florida team take on whoever else is ranked and gives more credence to that game.
I'll give you a perfect example of that. They're playing Kentucky this week.
There you go.
And now this is a top 25 matchup. Right? Florida 12, Kentucky 20. Now, if you were to go to the coaches poll, shame on them, 19 and 20.
Who wants that?
Did they not get the memo?
Yeah, no, right? I don't want that game.
But now you've got Florida against Kentucky. It's 12 versus 20.
I mean, a 19 versus 20 might as well just be on the Ocho.
I know, might as well. Why bother, right?
Now, I do know I have a theory of where they got some of those missing votes from. And that came from Iowa.
Iowa? Yeah.
Did you see that? Iowa, before preseason, Iowa was ranked, well, I think, like 28.
28. They were just outside.
Then they win, and all their votes are gone.
Gone. They're not even on the list.
Which, by the way, that's a crazy stat, isn't it?
In all my years, I was thinking about this on Saturday, and I have watched football, covered football. Football's been in my life since I was 6, right? Long time. I have never seen a team, I don't think, right? Maybe somebody can remind me. I've never seen a team with an ending score of 7 where it was a field goal and 2 safeties.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember a team. Like, I've seen 2 safeties before, but But I've never seen a team get a touchdown extra point score and it not be a touchdown extra point.
Yeah.
It's
you look at that game, 7-3.
Field goal, two safeties. Good God.
7-3 is like, all right, well, it was a defensive battle, and you know, you got the touchdown and you got the field goal. Okay,
right.
Wrapped up. No, there were four scores in that game.
And it was two safeties in the second half that sealed the win for the Hawkeyes. Golly.
So you win a game against an FCS opponent and you lose your votes.
That's right. That's it. Bye-bye.
That's how it works. And they go to Florida.
Works. Arizona goes to San Diego State. They win. They get a vote. They got one vote. Arizona, when was the last time Arizona was decent? Right?
That's a great question.
They had a quarterback years ago. I can't remember his name. I wish I could remember his name. That Arizona was pretty good. But Arizona has not been a traditionally good football team.
No, basketball.
They beat San Diego State. Yeah, well, that's basketball.
Basketball's their sport.
But they beat San Diego State out of the Mountain West on the road. They're like, here's one vote for you. Iowa, all of it's gone. Gone. We're not even going to give you the benefit of the doubt. We're not even going to give you the maybe it was just the opening day, you know, whatever. No, nothing.
Maybe the sun was in your eyes.
Right. Yeah.
Could be lots of reasons.
But again, as I said earlier, we take these things kind of look, and we have nothing else, right? That's it. I mean, I never want these polls to go away. I want to make this very, very clear. I never want them to go away. Even though I know where the bread is buttered, I never want them to go away. I think it's good talking points. I think it gets gets people excited about certain things. I think for most people, and again, because college football is so local, if you live in, if you live in Starkville, Mississippi, and you love the SEC, maybe you want to know what the rest of the country thinks about Notre Dame or USC or Utah or Miami, like teams outside of the conference. And this is the best way to do it, right? It's not accurate. It's really kind of meaningless in the big picture, but it does give you a barometer of something, right? Just to sort of look and see where everybody else is thinking about where the season is going. The committee, of course, is the one that gives it to you straight the way they decide it. But AP and coaches have always been sort of a standard that you're like, yeah. And this is the other thing. And this is why I never want them to go away. South Carolina is playing Arkansas this weekend, right? Now, Arkansas's got that number next to their name. They're 16. South Carolina's unranked. Now, if South Carolina, and if I'm not mistaken, South Carolina got two AP votes. If South Carolina wins that game, they're going to be in the top 25. Again, what does that mean? Well, for me, I'm going to be thrilled. I mean, I'm going to be thrilled. There's an emotion that comes with this that is part of the joy of sports. Like, my son texted me, Florida was 12th in like all caps. Now, I'm his dad. Did I want to say, yeah, but it's all meaningless. Wait till the committee decides in late October. No, of course not. I just went, hey, congratulations. That's fantastic. That's a great emotion. I'm sure people on campus are thrilled. Right? But in deep down, this is where we're at. So it's fun when it comes out, man. I look forward to it when it comes out. I don't put a lot of stock in it, but if my team is listed there, there's some pride that comes. There really is, because it's an acknowledgement from people that you're doing something good. That's what it really is. Whether it's AP writers who you may respect or not respect, or coaches who are handing this off to SIDs, or maybe coaches who are filling it out themselves, because I know there are a few, but not all of them. Most of these are SIDs that fill them out. But for the most part, it's a recognition. That's all it is. It's the recognition that you're doing something really good. That's why fans want to see their names on these. Yeah, it's likely the committee will see it the same way. And so if you can get up there, the committee might be looking at you the same way when they get together. But that's kind of where we're at. But Florida jumping from unranked to 12th in the AP poll, to me, is more indicative of the AP saying, well, Utah was 7th. That's the way we had it. And if you're going to beat 7, you're going to be as good too. So there you are, popping you way up in front of everybody else. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Robert makes a good point. He's hitting us up on Facebook. Another good point is ND losing. I don't think they should fall at all, actually. They played a real game and are punished for losing. Seems to send a signal better to whip a cupcake than take a chance and schedule a game you might lose. All right, yeah, Notre Dame fell three spots to an Oklahoma team that cruised, Texas A&M cruised. Clemson shouldn't have had any trouble with Georgia Tech, and they did a little bit before pulling away in the second half with 27 points. Michigan was impressive, but Notre Dame went to Columbus, played the number two team in the country, now number three team in the country. That was a close game, and they dropped three spots. Again, make of it what you will, but that's kind of the way it is. But yeah, I agree with you there. I agree with you. But again, I don't know how much stock you put in that. If Notre Dame wins the rest of the way, they'll be in consideration for the playoff. That's the way it is. And Notre Dame is going to be in. One other point about Notre Dame real quick. You know this new college playoff system format? They reward conference champions, and they don't play in a conference. That means they'll never get the first round bye. There'll have to be some sort of addendum to that where they say, well, this is going to the conference champions, but if Notre Dame is ranked higher than them or whatever, then they'll get into this. Because Notre Dame never wants to join a conference, shouldn't be forced to join a conference if they don't want to. But they shouldn't also be, you know, pushed out of the idea that they could get a first round bye if they have a good season. Wake up call.